All right, let's open our Bibles. We'll start first this morning in 1 Peter chapter 4. I'll run a few references as we get into our subject just a little bit. If you have already read the article in the bulletin that I wrote, there, the little spot from the pastor, I mentioned the fact that the government supposedly is shut down and so forth, but looking forward to the time that we undergo a government change.
Amen.
That change is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes up back and sets his government up. Amen. And this morning I want to talk to you a little bit on something. Maybe I'm reviewing something I've taught in college a little bit. But I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on dominion theology. And dominion. Most of us understand the meaning of that. We'll get words like domineering. Some wives think their husband's domineering and so forth. And you don't have any here like that, but I mean, you know, some probably have thought that sometime. Amen. And or the word dominate, we understand what it means. Well, we understand what dominion means. We understand man in the garden was given dominion. By the way, the environmentalists don't like that, but he's still in charge of the turtles and the rats and the owls, and the whales, and all the rest of it they go nuts over. God gave man dominion over that, whether they like it or not. That's another subject. I want you to look with me, if you would, here just a moment in 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at it in verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now get the last line. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, if you dropped over to chapter 5 in 1 Peter, you'd pick it up again in verse 11. Short statement. To him, talking about Christ, be glory and dominion, how long? Forever and ever. Amen. Now, there's so many places in the Bible that you can find where the Lord Jesus Christ is one day going to take dominion over the earth, set up his kingdom, rule and reign the 1,000 years that Revelation 20 talks about. And while that's a fact from the Bible's really being ignored in our day and time when it comes to culture and politics and you name it. It's regulated to just a little statement here or there for somebody, but they don't really believe it much anymore as a whole in society and in government today. But here's a doctrine, and I say it is a Bible college subject somewhat, that establishes a worldview and will help you and I to make sense of what is the struggle today, what is happening today, has to do with who's going to get, finally, the dominion of things. Now, it's much in the news. Today, we've got the United Nations. They've got a dominion plan. They've got a global world government plan. That's what it's all about. And you'll not make sense of what's going on because, by the way, common sense is just gone, isn't it? Gone. I saw a little flash on the news last night somewhere in Georgia where a school had expelled a kid. I think they're going to get it corrected when the law got into it finally, but expelled a kid because in his car, locked up in his fishing kit toolbox, he had a fishing knife. Oh, that's in the news last night. I saw that. We've gone crazy. Did you see where the kid chewed out? If your imagination worked, he took bites out of a tart, out of a sweet cake of some kind. He chewed it in such a way, if you wanted to use your imagination, it could have looked like a pistol. So he got kicked out over that. Another kid pointed his finger like that, playground, and I think he got expelled 2 days or something over it. Where in the world has common sense gone? It's gone crazy, ridiculous, that sort of thing. Talk about the knife in the fishing kit. When I was a kid, we all had pocket knives at school. And once in a while, the teacher would borrow one from us to use it for something. Now, there was some dummies that got in trouble for carving on wooden desks. In fact, some of them were so dumb, they carved their own initials. Say, what happened to kids like that? They grew up and got a job in Washington, D.C. With that kind of IQ, that's the only place they could find a job. Amen? Don't you agree with that, Scotty? Amen. But we're going crazy in this world today. There's no doubt about it. But what's at root is who is going to have the upper hand, the dominion. And so the UN's trying to put this thing together, and not just them. It's a worldwide thing. You know, we've got our Constitution, and that is a real bone in the throat of the liberals. They're doing everything they can to get rid of the Constitution and destroy it and misinterpret it and reinterpret it and all that business from the Supreme Court right on. For instance, the Second Amendment on taking up our guns. They hate that. So they're going to get around it by having a treaty with the UN and let the UN enforce the treaty to bypass our Second Amendment rights in the Constitution. And the folks that knock on your door to get your guns won't be the soldier boy that got drafted into our army. He'll be an international soldier dispatched by the One World Crew. Now you say, that's far out. How much other stuff was far out that's now fulfilling, huh? So you know where I'm going with that. I could park on it real easy, but I won't. By the way, we've had some past administrations that turned down some of this stuff because they knew enough Bible. Ronald Reagan turned down the number system because he said when they brought it to him, that sounds like the mark of the beast. He also turned down the UN treaties, several of them, that was to come in and usurp and get above our constitutional rights and rule us as American citizens. But there've been a lot of them signed. John Kerry right now just signed the one the other day on the arms, on the guns, that sort of thing. Anyway, I want to move on from that just a little bit. What is the reason for the present hate we have seemingly in the world, obviously in the world, I'd say, not seemingly, toward Christianity? You go over to Europe and you'll find out. I was over there on a mission field in Germany and we went into a hamburger place. I call it a hamburger place. Actually, the name of the city was Hamburg. It was. And the missionary told me before I made a mistake, he said, now the last preacher that was here said, I want to get one of them hamburgers. And he said, I had to tell him I wouldn't pay for it if he did. And he said, why? He said, because the hamburger is a beer. It's a drink. It's not a hamburger like it would be in America. So I'm glad he warned me before I asked for one. Amen. But with that said, you know how you have a placemat under your dish in some places, and they have various things, pictures, you know, it might be a national memorial or whatever, but sometimes it's a road map, sort of a road map, a map of it. And that particular map, I looked at it, and guess what? It had a lot of nations on there I recognize, but it skipped Israel. Israel wasn't on it because what's their philosophy? Israel shouldn't exist, right? I'm talking about in the global world they've got planned, it doesn't exist. They're planning to get rid of it. That shows you a little bit of what's going on. And some of the hate, much of the hate is because of Israel and America backing Israel. And we've not backed it like we should have in the last number of years. But see, America and Israel right now are the two enemies of the one world global plan. That's why a lot of that hate has come in. Socialism is moved into America like never before, and that's what Obamacare is about and some of the rest of it, socialism. I like what Winston Churchill said about it. He says, socialism will only work in two places. He said, it'll work in heaven where it's not needed, and it'll work in hell where it's already, they have already got it. Now, that was a long time ago that world leader Winston Churchill said that, but it's true. See, if you're going to have socialism, you've got to have a dictatorship. You got to have, as it were, a king, a ruler. You can't have a Congress like we, say like we got a mess for Congress, but the old days I'm talking about of a democratic republic You can't have that and have socialism. That's a republic is based on capitalism, and capitalism means I can earn and keep what I earn, that I got property rights, that I've got constitutional rights. And so America has gone great through all these years. But to have socialism, they got to take the majority of what you earn and decide who they're going to give it to. And that's what's going on, folks. The freebies has cost America her soul, in a sense. Real bad truth there, but the truth is, folks are gonna vote for who gives them the most stuff. That's where it's at right now. All right. Anyway, dominion theology. I want to define this doctrine just a little bit, and its error. It's the error of this is behind much of what I'm talking about. Now look at the word dominion. The word dominion, you know what it means. It means dominate or be in control or have power over. Now that's the goals of world history. Do you know what wars are about? Wars are about one country dominating another country, taking dominion over another. That's basically what a war achieves in most cases. Now, not true with America exactly. What it means in America in the last number of years, especially, is we'll go to war with you, we'll whip you, and then we'll finance you after that and take care of all your needs. Now, I've joked about that sometime, and I've said if I was a ruler in a third world country and I needed money, I'd pick a war with America. I'd let them whip me and then take care of me the rest of their life. That's about what happens. I hate to say it, but there's too much truth to that. Anyway, the word dominion, we understand it, and wars are about that, and when you read about them in the Bible or in other places, and you say, well, when's the last war going to happen? Only when Jesus comes back and fixes it. Somebody's joked and said, in the meantime, we'll have war. If it rains, we'll hold it in the stadium. What they mean is it's just going to keep on happening, happening. And it has through history because of man's nature. What is man's nature? If it's only two men, like Cain and Abel, Cain wanted to be the dominator, didn't he? And that's a sad truth. Now, that's his fallen nature. That's where the first murder came from, of course. Now, liberals can't quite grasp this truth about human nature. They deny it, though it's hitting them in the face all the time. They want to make the gun, for instance, the killer, when it's the man that pulls the trigger. That's the killer. To dodge that truth because they want to say that man is inherently good. The Bible says he's inherently bad. All are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, the scripture says. So we call that man's depravity. It happened in the garden when Adam fell, and as the federal head of the race, it's transferred right on down to us. And the old nature is depraved. Watch it with your kids. Abraham Lincoln was walking down the sidewalk with his two sons after he was president, and they were just bawling their heads off and fussing. Had one by one hand, one by the other. Neighbor walked over to the picket fence and said, Mr. President, what's the matter with the boys? And Abe said the same thing that's the matter with the country. He said, I got three pieces of hard candy and each one of them want two. Now, it starts early with kids. Depraved nature. Tenth commandment, covetousness. That's the flesh, that's the nature. And it crops up in all of us one time or another. We have to fight it, we recognize it, but the depravity of man keeps communism from working. That's why communism, everybody's going to have it coming. That's a joke. If it comes in, it sets up a hierarchy that is in control and dominates everything, and then it creates the poor class and eliminates the middle class. And you and I, whether you like it or not, we're in the middle. And that's the ones that hurt the worst. That's always the truth. And that depravity of man, it will not work. And that's why in our country today, we're seeing the government taken advantage of every kind of way. Folks apply for help whether they need it or not, if they just get it. Their attitude is trick, lie, deceive, and get everything I can grab, never thinking about where it come from. I saw on a news program here, it's been some time back, you know, you ought to get an eye opener. It's when the reporter goes out in the street with a microphone and talks live to folks on the sidewalk. You get some information that way every now and then, and I'm surprised how dumb they are. Folks, please, please don't watch the soap operas and no news at all. Even though the news is biased, you can learn some stuff for what's going on. Well, I went out in the street with a microphone. I saw this been quite a while back. And he asked one guy, he said, "You want a job?" Well, yeah, I tell you when it was. It was the Occupy Wall Street crowd out there. He said, "You want a job?" Guy said, "No, I don't want a job. I want a check." And that's what he's getting. And they had several other questions like this. One woman was asked about it, and she said, "Yeah, I've got a right to it. President going to give it to me." And so the reporter said, "Where does the president get it from?" She said, "I don't know. He's just got a stack of money back there somewhere." They don't know where it comes from. It comes from folks that are playing by the rules, earning the living by the sweat of their face, paying their taxes, whether they like it or not, what it's being used for. That's where it's coming from. And yet we've lost touch with that truth too much in this world today. Well, the liberals can't get a hold of that. Somebody said in Washington, D.C., he said the difference in a conservative and a liberal in Washington, D.C. is the liberal hadn't been mugged yet. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of truth to that one. Find out what it's all about. And when they finally find out the reality of it, that man's nature is depraved. Now, the word dominion, we know what it means. The word theology, and I picked the subject here, using the subject, dominion theology. Most of you know the word theology basically means a study of God. Theos, meaning God. Ology, meaning study, and so forth. All right, apply the study of God or theology to dominion. Here's what it is. Basically, it is saying by those that hold this, whether they'd recognize the name of it or not, excuse my throat here. Basically, they're saying who and how is God going to let somebody have dominion, or who is he going to give it to or support in it? Applying that to dominion. Who's God going to let rule? Now, you would be surprised, and this will come out, couldn't come out any day, may come out in a few months, a few years at the most, but there's been an argument made for a long time on the European scene. Well, let me ask you this, get you to understand what I'm talking about. How many of you ever heard about blue bloods? We think generally that term is used for those in high authority, kings, queens, so forth. Well, where did that idea come from? You've seen it on TV. It was portrayed, and I can't call the name of it right now. It was made a movie out of it. Some popular Hollywood star was in it. Da Vinci files or codes or something. Anyway, went through all of that on a theory, based on a theory. I don't know why this thing started so bad right now. Da Vinci codes, I guess it was based on a theory, a false theory, a lie, satanic lie, that Jesus Christ in the flesh and Mary Magdalene had sexual relations, husband and wife, produced children, and it's those children in that lineage that have produced and given their authority to the their offspring, given the authority to the kings and queens of Europe. Now, there's quite a bit of story stuff behind it. That's what they made a lot of the movie out of. Many of us have read that theory for years. just junk, but then they put it on the big screen and they brainwash people with, at least it sows doubt. Well, Jesus was more of just a man. He wasn't God. But yeah, they agree he came from God, and therefore they use the authority of God for their kingship, for their kingdom, for their ruler. We are blue bloods. We are of the family of Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene. Now, I simplified that very simple, but that's the basic theory. I can give you some of the king's names. They even have it encoded on their shields, or coat of arms, it's called. In many places, they have references in code to that stuff. There was a kingship over there called Sinclair. How many of you fellows remember ever buying gas at a Sinclair station? All right, that was part of the family I'm talking about. That was the wealthy crowd there. Prince Charles and so forth over in England, the House of Windsor, all of that, all of them still tracing back. I had the authority. We have the authority. This comes from God. And of course it's false. But at the same time, they use that. And a lot of folks buy into it. One fellow over there, the House of Sinclair, is great, great grandchildren of them, made this statement just a few years ago, and I saw it on TV. They were talking to him. He said, well, one day we're going to let the truth come out, and it's going to really shock the world. Now, I knew the truth he thought he had. That truth was, I'm a descendant. I'm a blue blood. That's what he thought. And that's what he was referring to. That's going to really shake religion up when we let the truth out later on. By the way, there's a big, we're into deception now like I never would have believed, but it's coming bigger. It is coming bigger. And it's probably going to have to do, as you've heard me mention not too long ago, it's going to have to do with extraterrestrials. But more than that, it's going to have to do with world religion saying they're the ones. So that's far out science fiction. Yeah, you've already absorbed a lot of it. You've already been brainwashed more than you think. And when it gets just right, they'll spring that trap. I'll tell you who won't fall for it. Those that are born again in Jesus Christ. Very likely we'll be gone in the rapture. But if we're not, the Holy Spirit won't let you fall for that. I mean, can I play with you just a minute? Some guy gets off a spaceship and shows you the nail prints in his hand. Is that all it's going to take for you to think he's Jesus Christ? Huh? Yeah. No, I think the Holy Spirit inside will say that's the false one. Yeah. I don't believe we'll fall for it. And that's why I believe we got to be gone before they sprang the trap, personally. But anyway, I can't prove that I will be gone, but I believe I will. But theology, the study of God, apply it to dominion. They're saying we got God's blessing on this. He's the one who gives us the power to rule and so forth. Now, this sets the stage then for Satan to enter. What was Satan's desire in Isaiah 14? It was that he'd set his throne above God's. That desire hadn't changed. If you want to know why the devil is so, I think he is, so much more active. He's always been active, but he's pulling some big ones in our day and time. And I know the book of Revelation tells of a time that he'll come down and woe to the inhabitants of the earth because he knows it, but he has a short time. He knows the Bible better than a lot of us do. And I think he knows his doom is sealed. But in the meantime, he's going to do all the damage he can. And he is doing that right now, no doubt about it. I've pastored a long time. I've never seen him more active and pulling off more tricks than he's pulling now. Anyway, basically, he's moving into the picture. He wants to exalt himself, like Isaiah 14 says, above God. And you know, men become Satan's pawns, like in a chess game. He moves them here and there. And you can recognize those pawns. Do you understand that when men like Stalin and Hitler and Saddam Hussein did the great evil they did, they were being used of the devil? Just like you might sit down to a checkerboard and push a checker here or there, or a chess character here or there, the devil is using men that are sold out to him. Many of you have heard me say Hitler had a plan to produce the super race. And it was a part of his plan had to do with the supernatural. And right on up, even until he began to see his fate, that the war was going against him, he was still sending to places like Tibet and other places trying to get a hold of spiritual leaders. And by the way, there are spiritual leaders that on the wrong side. And he was trying to get some power to do some things, and still even was sold the lie right on up near in the end of the war that the, quote, ETs were going to show up and save him. That's pretty big. They didn't show. By the way, the devil knows who's got the most power. And no doubt about that. On a few occasions, I've known a situation where demons spoke out of somebody. And one of the things they have to admit, just like they do in the Bible, they admit it in the Bible, they have to admit that Jesus Christ is above them. They have to admit that he has all power. And the Bible says the devil believes, but he trembles. He knows there's a power greater than him. So anyway, Satan moves into this picture, put the one global thing together, and he uses men as pawns. Therefore, the hatred of Israel is so great, because what did Israel produce? They produced the seed, the promised seed. They produced the Messiah. If you want to see, you could flip over to Revelation. Flip over to Revelation chapter 12, and you're familiar with it, I'm sure. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That's Israel. That's not the Virgin Mary. Be careful about false interpretations. 12 stars, the 12 sons of Israel there. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. You wonder how the devil appears to the Lord? He appears as a red dragon. Here he is, that old serpent, the devil. He appears to men as an angel of light. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Yeah, he pulled a lot of the host of heaven after him. Did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman. This red dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Who delivered the seed? Israel did. You remember the story? We hear it more at Christmas time, don't we? Where Herod killed all the babies from 2 years old and down. Sure. That's what it's talking about here, to try to devour the Lord Jesus, the Christ child. She brought forth a man child who was to rule, and watch how clear the King James is, who was to rule all nations. Doesn't say he is ruling, but future, was. He is going to do it. In fact, if you looked at Luke 1:32, where the angel showed up to Mary, he said he shall. That shall means it's coming. Dominion? It's coming for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the text we read. No, sir, the devil is the god of this world right now. And deception is running high. But he's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. There's a big gap there between his birth and his resurrection. But the woman fled in the wilderness. And, of course, we're still in the war that takes place in this chapter. I can't go into all at all right now. But what's it all about? It's dominion. Who is going to have the authority and the dominion? Now, Satan's used men. He hates Israel. What's going on right now in the news is the hatred against Israel and the hatred against America. See, we Christians are based on the foundation of the promised seed that worked through the Messiah, through Israel. So often you hear the reference Judeo-Christian. Well, that's referring to our foundation. Now, every individual Jew needs Christ as Savior, just like any Gentile does. But there is a hatred because not only that Israel gave the Messiah, But it is the Messiah, the promised seed of Genesis 3:15, that's going to come back and defeat the devil and have dominion over the world. If you want to know what the struggle's about, it's over who's going to get dominion. Every war, politically and otherwise, who's going to be the dominating one? Who's going to be the one in charge? That's what it's about. And Israel is hated, and America's hated for our part in that, because they want to put a one world kingdom together. Now, the error today theologically is so, even in Christianity, is so many so-called churches think that the church has replaced Israel. It has not. Israel will have its finishing part when you read Revelation rightly divided. But you will find out we didn't replace them. That's called, in theological terms, replacement theology. And it's the error that's behind a lot of what's going on right now. Revelation 20 tells us the Lord is coming back to rule and reign 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 tells us he'll be the prince of kings. In other words, he's going to be above the kings. If there be some stupid king alive today that thinks he's greater than the Lord Jesus Christ, what a shock he's got coming. Psalms 2 says the Lord's going to set his son on the holy hill. Bible tells us God's going to come back and show who is the only high potentate. And over, Jesus wears the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's dominion that we're talking about. And the idea of replacing Israel, like I spoke a while ago about leaving it off the map, it was only in the last very few years that the Vatican finally recognized Israel as an existing state. Did you know that? It's just in the last few years. And Islam, which will move into this thing, is moving into it. Their maps today does not show Israel on their maps, because the plan of the one global government world is to eliminate the state of Israel. How America is going to shake out in the final, I'm scared for our nation now, because if we get on the wrong side of this thing, we're goners, and I'm not sure but what we've already gone so far that we are. But even with that, it's coming down to who's going to rule the world. Who's going to be in charge? And Jesus has got to come back, even as the Creator, he's got to come back and fight his creatures over who's going to dominate the world. That's what Armageddon's about, all the wars and the armies gathered at Armageddon to stop the Lord. Revelation 19, he comes back. He don't come back to die on a cross. He comes back to rule and reign. He comes back with all power. And the truth of the matter is that the good thing today, he's our Savior. He washes our sin in his blood. But one day he's going to have dominion. Satan will have his Antichrist temporarily. But I read in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 where it tells us over there that where every eye will see him and the tribes will wail at his coming. I said wail, not rejoice. They're going to hate to see his coming. They're going to fight him about who takes over. But his throne's going to be established. He's going to rule and reign. And there's nothing that they can do to stop him. But the whole thing that's going nuts today is America loses its values, gets in trouble with God's judgment, all of that still boils down to who's going to have dominion, who's going to be the boss.